You'll turn once again in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2, which is on page 222. A lot of twos. We'll be reading our sermon text. Continuing our study of Ruth, went through chapter 1 last week. We saw God's great providential care for his people, even the fact that he loves and cares for a foreigner, one who comes to God's covenant people, and we see this narrative carried out in Ruth chapter 2. Here now the reading of God's holy word. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." And Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." And Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us once again go before him in prayer, asking his blessing. Our Heavenly Father, our great refuge, the one under whose wings we have come. Lord, we ask that you would bless now the preaching of your word, that we would come to hear it now as a great blessing. Even as Ruth came to experience the blessing of Boaz, came to experience the covenant blessings found among the people of God, we pray also that we would be blessed by you, and that we would find your care a joy and very pleasant to us. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, many of you may be familiar with A Streetcar Named Desire, which was a play written by Tennessee Williams in 1947. If you know anything about histories of plays and such and famous movies, you'll remember that Vivian Leigh played the part of Blanche DuBois in the London production of the play and also in its 1951 film adaptation that starred, among others, Marlon Brando. Well, Blanche DuBois is a very interesting character, and she has been immortalized in many ways in the history of film with this performance. After many terrible abuses, the character of Blanche has a mental breakdown. And she wakes up to find herself on the ground. She looks up to see a doctor. And this doctor helps her to her feet. And at that point, she utters one of the most memorable lines in film history: "Whoever you are, I've always depended on the kindness of strangers." Well, in a sense, you could see this line being said by Ruth in chapter 2 here of this book, because she comes to find, to her, a stranger, but one who nevertheless helps her up and provides for her in many different ways, in unexpected ways, in overly generous ways. We come to see not only this woman who's lost and without much care, but also a foreigner who's in the midst of a foreign people being loved for and cared by this person who does not know her. So as we look at the second chapter of Ruth, we continue upon last week as we looked at Ruth chapter 1, but we see the wonderful care that the Lord has for his covenant people. But more than that, how open and accepting he is to a foreigner who casts her life into his care. This one who decides to enter into the covenant people of God, the one who throws herself on the Lord's covenant mercy. And we see that being focused here in the person of Boaz, who is her redeemer, but ultimately, Boaz, as he points to the Lord Jesus Christ, our ultimate redeemer. So as we look at this chapter, we will do so in 3 points. First, in verses 1 through 7, we will see that the Redeemer enters. In verses 8 through 13, we will see that the Redeemer covers. And then in verses 14 through 23, that the Redeemer provides. The Redeemer enters, covers, and provides. Now in verse 1, we are given a hint, a very important piece of background information. We come to see here, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." Elimelech was Naomi's deceased husband. And his name, again, means "my God is king." And what we see here is the fact that Naomi is not entirely removed from these people, that there is a relative, somebody who might care for and might protect Naomi and Ruth now that they've returned to the covenant people of God after 10 years in Moab. And we know this fact, and the narrator tells it to us. But Ruth and Naomi at this point in time do not know this. And Ruth asks Naomi if she might go into the fields to glean among the ears of grain. But the dialogue that we find later in verse 19, as well as what is said in the grammar of verse 2, indicate that Ruth and Naomi do not know that there is this provider. And so Ruth seeks to go and glean in the fields. And she's seeking to find favor from somebody. Not particularly Boaz yet. We'll see that in a moment. They had these gleaning laws that were set up in the Old Testament. Now, this right to glean was protected by the law It's written about in Leviticus 19 and also in Deuteronomy. And it was a provision that the Lord had made among his people so that the poor would have something to eat. It was, in a sense, kind of a form of welfare, but one that you work for, etc. And they were required to, in many cases, the farmers, to leave a border around their fields so that the poor could come and pick from the grain. That they would have something to eat. They would have some sort of subsistence. But there are also provision allowing for the poor and the needy to follow the reapers, if there were rows along the rows, and pick up anything that had fallen to the ground. If you were reaping, you were not supposed to drop and pick it back up. You're supposed to leave that for those in need. And Ruth, being aware of this apparently, seeks to go out into the fields to provide something for her and Naomi, something that they might eat so that they don't die. And though this provision was made, there were no doubt many landowners who would have made it difficult to glean in their fields, people who were not overly generous, people who were wanting the greatest yield that they could get. And so some would have kicked the poor out of their property. Other people would not have left a border of grain around their field. Again, remember, this was the time of the judges. When Ruth opens up, it says that this event happened, that this narrative happens in the time of the judges, which you may remember. The end of the judges says everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They might not necessarily be abiding by the laws for the needy. And so Ruth seeks to throw herself to go to one of these fields and ask permission that she might glean from the field, even though according to the law, she would not have to. But nevertheless, according to Ruth's suggestion, Naomi sends her to go glean in the fields. Verse 3 says, so she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. Now, something humorous here. The narrator, the author of Ruth, in some ways is doing something interesting here with the language. Because it just so happened that Ruth came to this part of the field. This field belonging to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. It's humorous in a sense because one of the dominant themes in the whole book of Ruth is God's providential care. That things don't happen on accident. That God's been orchestrating these events for the care and guidance of his people. So in one way, we know things just don't happen. She just didn't, on some accident that occurred in the universe, just happened to come to Boaz's field. In God's wisdom and in his providence, she comes to the field of the Redeemer. This becomes clearer as the story unfolds. As this Redeemer is introduced and as he enters, the text says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And the author of Ruth highlights his entrance, and the ESV is very good here, as it's very good in many places, and it's quite right to use this word, behold, because it's an interjection. It's indicating a break with the previous narrative, and it's pointing out something important, something new. That the entrance of this man into the narrative is significant. He's not just any other character. And clearly this is a godly man. One who is going to factor significantly into the care of Ruth and Naomi. He comes to his people, to his workers, and he greets them using God's covenant name. And they respond in kind. And he's cultivated, obviously, some type of workforce here. And he's developed a work environment in which they're using God's covenant name. They're blessing one another. They're doing things rightly. They're obeying the Lord, doing things certainly not according to their own eyes, but the way of the Lord. Boaz is exemplary in many ways. He extends his kindness, his love, his care, and even his covenant greetings to his people. And he comes to take notice of Ruth. He approaches his foreman, this young man who's in charge of the reapers. He says, whose young woman is this? The foreman's response is interesting. He doesn't use her name. Even though she was the talk of the town already, there's an onomatopoeia in chapter 1, which is basically a word that's supposed to sound like what it's indicating, like pow or kabam. It's a word that's reminiscent of buzzing. But the town was abuzz when Ruth and Naomi came back from Moab. They all knew what was going on. They were the talk of the town, but this foreman does not use her name. Instead, she says, the young Moabite woman. It's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. Now, perhaps he's embarrassed for letting her glean. Perhaps he just can't bring himself to speak the name of a foreigner. But in any case, her nationality is what sticks out to him, not her personal identity. It's the fact that she's from Moab, that she's an outsider. But the author of Ruth highlights something very different about this woman. Her nationality is not what sticks out. Excuse me. Or rather, it's her work ethic. It's her discipline. Except for a short rest, she has been working with a steady consistency. She demonstrates a particular faithfulness to providing for herself, but also for her mother-in-law. This foreigner who's come from far away, who's come and is working in the midst of these people she does not know, who she has no relation to. She comes according to their laws, doing their things, working hard, and except for a short rest, working all the way from the early morning. And Boaz the Redeemer enters on the scene, and he takes notice of this exceptional woman. And beginning in verse 8, we come to see now that he covers her. This is our second point. The Redeemer covers. Boaz extends his kindness to Ruth, and he urges her not to glean in another field. He tells her now to follow his young women, to drink from the water that his young men had drawn. In effect, he extends the borders of his household to include her. He's included a number of people in his care, all of his employees, these young men, these young women. But now he covers Ruth, saying, you belong with my people. My kindness, my provision is extended to you. This Redeemer now covers. She's a foreigner. She's not even a servant, not even a slave in Boaz's house, but still Boaz has shown great kindness and generosity to her. And she doesn't understand why he is being so kind. But it's because Boaz has heard how Ruth was faithful to Naomi, how she clung to God's covenant people. In the face of uncertainty, at least earthly uncertainty, she has joined in with God's people, despising her own, separating herself from her past and her pagan gods, and has thrown herself into the midst of God's people and has taken Yahweh now as her God. And wherever Naomi goes, Ruth will go too. And wherever she's buried, she will be buried. She belongs now among God's people. Boaz recognizes this nobility, this virtue, this love in her heart, this love, this heart that's been remade, these new eyes of faith that Ruth has been given. Boaz sees them. And he says in verse 12, if you'll see, the Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Again, he's speaking to a former pagan, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You see, the kindness that Ruth receives from Boaz is a picture of the kindness that is available to all who seek refuge under the Lord's wings. Ruth has sought refuge among Yahweh, the God of Israel, forsaking her past, forsaking her other gods that she formerly bowed down to. And Boaz likewise extends his care to her. And she receives from his abundance. She eats her fill at his table. and she is not left wanting. This foreigner has come to find refuge in the house of a covenant redeemer. And this redeemer has covered her, and now he will provide. This is our third point. The redeemer provides. Now, Boaz is generous, but it's one thing to be generous and to give. It's another to guarantee or to ensure that gift. And this is what Boaz does. He backs up his generosity. In verse 9, he said that he has commanded his young men not to touch Ruth. So not only is he feeding her, but he's also telling his young men, you know, lay off. Do not touch this woman. And he also tells them to let her glean among them. But much more than that, even to pull some of the stalks. They would harvest these with a sickle. And then when they would become too much to carry, they'd put them down and the young women would tie them up with string or rope and they'd have these big bindings full of barley stalks. And he tells his men, don't just let her pick the stuff up that you drop. Take some of the stuff that you've got ready to go back to my place, throw it on the ground for her. He's making it easy for her, in other words. And when she gets home, or at the end of her day, after having gleaned among these fields, we come to find out how generous Boaz has actually been. The text says she came out with an ephah of barley, which is about a bushel. For those of you who don't know what a bushel is, I looked this up, and in our present commodity exchange, a bushel of barley would be about 48 pounds of barley. One day's worth of gleaning. I can't imagine carrying 48 pounds of barley home without a cart, or in our case, a truck. But apparently she walked back. And she took all this barley and the leftovers from dinner back to her mother-in-law. And as we might expect, Naomi is surprised. Where did you glean to find all of this barley? You've got leftovers from dinner. Where did you go? Because it's obvious that Ruth could not have done this on her own. This was not a subsistence gleaning. This was a special provision given to her by somebody out of his kindness. And Ruth tells her that she gleaned in the field of Boaz. Verse 20 says, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. The language of Naomi's blessing here is similar to one found in Genesis 24. If you recall the story of Abraham's servant, where he traveled from Canaan to Mesopotamia to find a wife for Abraham's son Isaac. He finally discovers this beautiful woman, Rebekah, and he praised God for his kindness towards his master's family. And Naomi realized that according to the law, now Boaz was one who could redeem her family, who would carry on the line of Elimelech, a kinsman redeemer who would not let the dead pass away, but one whose line would continue, that blessing of family, which is so important in this culture. It's important to us too. But think about the blessing and the promise that was given to Abraham, how important the seed was to these people and to us. Naomi realized now that Boaz was one who could provide the redemption for her line, this clan of Elimelech, that Boaz was one who could continue God's blessing through history for her particular family. And he could provide food, but more importantly, he could provide an heir. And given his great kindness toward Ruth, this was more than just a vague possibility, but it was a very present help standing right in front of them. This wonderful kindness is extraordinary, and it comes into sharp contrast when we think about the alternatives. Now, there was a famine in the land, which is what sent Ruth and Naomi off into Moab in the first place. Well, sent Naomi off, and then her son married Ruth. So we could think of them starving to death. Sounds like a pretty horrible life or a horrible end to a life. But verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." And not only has Boaz provided food for her, but also protection. Not only is he the possibility of care and a blessing in this life, but also that he can offer an heir, and also that he can guard and hedge in Ruth's life and physical well-being, that she might not be assaulted in another field. That through Boaz, Ruth is being protected not only from hunger, but also from all other forms of abuse, of assault, of danger, of peril, of nakedness, of sword. Boaz is a picture of comprehensive care, and he is intent on providing. We would be remiss if we just looked to Boaz and said, "This is an extraordinary man, a man whom we should admire, a man whom exemplifies what it means to be a godly person." Now, it is true, Boaz does exemplify how a godly man should act. In one particular way, he exemplifies his care for those whom are under him, how he loves and guards his employees. We are called to do so as well. All the people who are under our care and under our influence, we are to, in one way, live lives that are similar to Boaz's. In another way, Boaz exemplifies how husbands ought to treat their wives. We know Boaz is not married to Ruth yet. It will happen. But husbands, this is especially the case with how a man should act toward his wife, to respect her, to offer an abundant kindness and generosity, to protect and also to provide. All these things are important. All these things are true. And we see these things in the life of Boaz. But Boaz is a much more significant figure than just a moral example. And we do not preach moral examples. We preach the fullness of God's revelation. And in redemptive history, Boaz is not the key figure of this narrative, because he points to someone far greater than himself. He points forward to Jesus Christ. Not simply as an afterthought, it's not just a literary motif that we tack on to the story of Boaz, but in God's wisdom, in his way of caring for Ruth and Naomi, he has given to them this man for their care in their present time. But he has done so in such a way that this man of Israel would anticipate a greater Redeemer who would come to his people. We don't just look in the past and stick Jesus on top of Old Testament narrative. We need to think about things in the reverse way. Boaz exists because of Jesus Christ, not the other way around. And when we see Boaz caring for Ruth, for Naomi, when we see this Redeemer enter this man from Bethlehem, we ought to think of our Savior, who also entered as a Redeemer, one who was from Bethlehem. When we think about Boaz covering Ruth and Naomi with his care, we ought immediately to think about our Savior Jesus Christ covering us with his blood, with his righteousness, and with all the blessings that come from him. He is the one who has spread his wings over us, guarding us and protecting us. When we think about Boaz providing and protecting in many ways, we must think about Christ and how he has given to us all things. The book of Ruth is about Jesus. And it's about his love and care for us. which is exemplified in the fact that he came to this earth in a lowly form, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, not looking like a king coming in pomp and circumstance, but he came as a servant in a lowly estate. He lived the life under the law, subjecting himself to the pains of this life, even to the miseries of it, and ultimately to the greatest misery, which is death on a cross, a great shame. He subjected himself even to the pains of hell, to God's wrath for us. Such is the love of our Savior. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we look to this Savior as one who's extended his wings to us, who's opened his house so that we could come in. Those who are foreigners, who are far off, who do not belong, those people who are outsiders now have been brought near in the blood of Christ. And this is the great news of the book of Ruth and the great news of the gospel. And it's available to all who would come, to all who would believe, and to all who would forsake their past, their idols, their former way of life, and cast themselves upon the covenant Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen. Let us pray.